You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, good to be with you as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Lindsay, listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Lindsay.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I've had this question that's been bothering me for a long time, and the question is, you know, Jesus said, you know, don't be afraid of these things that come to pass in the world. Don't you know that we'll have wars? Know that these things will happen. How do you know what you're supposed to be driven into changing, and what you're supposed to leave alone, and what is the will of God, and what is not the will for Him to change himself? That's my struggle.
Yeah, well, you have essentially two things. One, we have the Great Commission. We are called to change hearts through the preaching of the gospel. That is a commission that each one of us has. And we are assured of one thing: if you change the heart, you change the culture. As the heart goes, so goes the culture. That's the real systemic answer to changing any culture. But we're also called to tend the garden. So while we are called to the Great Commission, we are equally called to the great commission that we have been given as a commandment to take care of the earth that God has given us. And when we do that, we recognize that we have a responsibility in every realm of society. We have a responsibility in the arts. We have a responsibility in education in general. We have a responsibility in government. There's not one square inch of this world that is not God's, over which He does not cry, "That is mine."
Here's the other part that I wanted to say was, so we should try to change everything we see that is wrong, and the things we can't change, we just, you know, the things that we fight are the things that we try so hard, and the people we try so hard to save. If you make the effort to save them, your best, you know, human effort with the help of the Holy Spirit, that's all that you can do. But you're called to make the effort when you see something wrong, whether you have the power to change it or not, right?
Yeah, we're called to be faithful. We're not even called to win. We're simply called to be faithful and fruitful, to use our time, talent, and treasure for the extension of His kingdom, and recognize that His kingdom is not only in the now growing to fill the earth, but one in which there will be an everlasting dominion as we reign with the King for all eternity. So we are to count our lives not worthy, even unto death. We are to make a difference while there is yet time.
And what I'm saying is, even if you tried and you couldn't change it, is that the way that God wanted it? That He wanted you to try even if you couldn't change it?
That's the point. The point is, we need to be faithful. It's not about we need to win. It's about we need to be faithful daily stewards of the time, talent, and treasure that God has given us.
Okay. All righty. Thank you.
Bless you. Back to our phone callers. Next to Billy, listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wondering, there's a verse someplace in the New Testament that says that we have a spirit of discipline. Can you shed some light on that?
Well, I don't know that I specifically can come up with a verse that says that, but there is a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that tells us that the Spirit God gave us doesn't make us timid, but gives us power and love and self-discipline. So I think, in essence, 2 Timothy, written by Paul, makes that point.
Okay. All right, I've got another question for you. James 5:20 says, remember this, in the NIV, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and a cover over a multitude of sins. Whose sins are covered here?
Well, you're covering your own sins and covering their sins as well. A multiplicity of sins are being covered, because we are told in Scripture that we are wise if we lead people to righteousness. We are also recognizing that those who are led to righteousness are wise. And with respect to leading people to righteousness, let me say this. Spiritual disciplines are, in effect, spiritual exercises. And with respect to leading people to righteousness, in your earlier question about a spirit of discipline, let me say this. It reminds me of a football coach, Tom Landry, who used to say the job of a good football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to achieve. In much the same way, Christians are then called to make themselves do something they would not ordinarily do in order that they might become what they've always wanted to be, that they might become like Jesus Christ. And that's the problem with contemporary Christianity. It is that a vast majority of Christians have never made the transition from declaration to discipleship. They have never become slaves to righteousness. And if you read C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, Uncle Screwtape is displeased with Wormwood because his patient has become a Christian. But there's hope. Why? Because, as Screwtape explains, all the habits of the patient, both mentally and bodily, are still in our favor. Screwtape knew full well that converts who failed to embrace spiritual discipline, who failed to embrace discipleship, would likewise fail to become genuinely Christ-like. Put another way, unless and until a convert becomes a slave to righteousness, there is no need whatsoever for the forces of darkness to be alarmed. We need to make that transition from declaration to discipleship, becoming slaves to righteousness, embracing the spirit of discipline, as you asked in the first place. Back to the phone lines. Victor next, listening in Kansas. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've enjoyed and appreciated your ministry for many years, since about 1995. Hank, I had a question about a group that I've heard of and just wondered if you, it's called the Walk to Emmaus, and I wondered if you had any background on that and any thoughts. Is that something that one should be hesitant about in signing people up or getting people interested in that within a church setting, or do you know anything about that?
Yeah, we have a three-paragraph statement on the Walk to Emmaus. It's designated as a 72-hour mini-retreat sponsored by the Upper Room, which is a unit of the Board of Discipleship of the United Methodist Church. And the statement points out that there have been various concerns that have been raised over the years, such as secrecy about the content that is shared, the liberal tendencies of the Methodist Church, and because these walks are emotionally intense and experience-oriented, and I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast that experiences are notoriously unreliable, these experiences oftentimes confuse and might not have the foundation necessary in terms of certain Christians to be able to assimilate those experiences in a positive way. However, we also point out in this statement from the Christian Research Institute that there have been many Christians that we have talked to over the years who have benefited from participating. So I don't think that you can broad brush this particular subject. There have been Christians that have benefited greatly. Maybe it's because of their own spiritual maturity. Maybe it's because of the particular speakers that were at the particular Walk to Emmaus event. I don't know. But anecdotally, we have talked to a good number of people who have benefited from this. So we throw out the caution not to broad brush the Walk to Emmaus, but simply say, here are a few things you might want to be aware of.
Right. Have you had any experience with people who, or churches that have suffered division as a result of that?
Well, we've heard about it. I've heard about it personally over the years. I went to one of these retreats many, many years ago. I would imagine it was somewhere around 20 years ago or something like that. But I have heard of such things, and I personally had a negative experience when I went through a Walk to Emmaus. I've heard about it, but I've also, as I said, on the other side of the coin, I've heard some people with very beneficial comments about what they experienced. I'm going to have to leave it at that. Statement available through the Christian Research Institute. Be right back.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Dr. Craig, listening in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. My question is falls along the lines of where we're commanded to be salt and light. And I'm wondering how that can be exemplified on the political stage. When certain truths come to light, but you can see that they're not conveyed to the general public, I'm wondering how what our responsibility is in light of that. Like, for example, you can watch National Geographic or Oasis or Discovery Channel, and they have a lot of good stuff on it until they start teaching you that how everything evolved and how the theory of evolution is true, and they teach it as truth. But in your heart, you know that none of it makes sense, and the only thing that really does make sense is a designer.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, this is a perfect time to underscore the fact that we need to know how to discern. Discernment skills are really at a premium in an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. It's critical that we learn discernment skills, and certainly when it comes to, you know, not just a apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue. How one views their origins determines how they live their life. And unfortunately, in the venues you just mentioned and many others, they start with the evolutionary hypothesis. They start with the idea that nothing created everything and expect everybody to lockstep buy into it. If you're a professor, you don't dare say anything else unless you have tenure. Then you might venture out on that limb. But if you don't have tenure, you don't want to mention that because you're likely to lose your job.
Yeah, okay, and that's true. We're brought up with that in our public school system, and if you say anything to the contrary, you're ostracized.
Yeah.
But my concern is more in mainstream news media where people get their news and they believe that all that they hear in the news is true, and that's propagated as well. When they start virtually everything, they come out with you with a bunch of good truths that people can see and follow along with, but then they spin it, and then people buy that spin. It's a great deception that people fall into, and I'm thinking of climate change, for instance, and global warming and all that, and a lot of other propagated material that's important in this world. And I'm wondering how we as Christians should respond to all that, because what I'm really thinking of is Christ says that when you're no longer salt and you lose your saltiness and you're no longer being a preservative in a world that's prone to moral decay, then you deserve nothing to be cast out and trampled under by men. And I'm worried that sort of thing might be taken literally, or could be taken literally.
Yeah, and let's take global warming, for example. We're talking about discernment skills, what we should be able to do. Well, we should be able to ask the right question and then ask the right question in the right order. And the initial question we might ask is global warming a reality? And try to answer that by looking at the evidence. The second question is, if the globe is warming, is human activity behind that warming? The third question you can ask is global warming necessarily bad? So learn to ask the right questions, because as you point out, there's a lot of sensationalism, there's a lot of sophistry, there's a lot of sloppy journalism, and there is a lot of spin. And we need to be very careful that we consider the cost of having our eyes on the wrong ball. If we participate in promoting political policies involving trillions of dollars, there should be convincing evidence that global warming is, as Al Gore contends, the most pressing problem facing the planet. Because if we have our eyes on the wrong ball, then there are a lot of very important political measures that remain unfunded. In fact, I wrote about that in a little booklet. It's on critical thinking. It's on discernment. It's called How Should You Think About Global Warming?
Oh, I see.
And this applies to many of the other subjects that you allude to.
I see. Well, I think that it's good that we have the internet because there's alternative news sources out there. But I'm worried about what the Bible says about strong delusion, that the Lord gave them over to strong delusion so that they could believe a lie. And I see that a lot of lying is going on. And I just want to know what my place is in all that.
Well, you bring up the internet, and you're right. The internet is, you know, a lot of positives to the internet, certainly. We don't want to diminish the value of the internet. But on the other hand, we need to learn, again, what I started out saying to you, discernment skills, because internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. So we need to learn discernment skills. So when we go to a website, or we talk about a website, or we influence someone with a particular website, we are pointing them in the right direction. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm so delighted as president of the Christian Research Institute to be talking about equip.org on an ongoing basis, because the information that you find there is vetted, and therefore you can trust the information. If we don't know, we'll tell you. If we do know, we will tell you. And if there are two sides of the coin, we'll let you know about that as well. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk next to Bob, Bakersfield, California. Hi, Bob.
Hi. In your comments on the walk to Emmaus, I've never done it, but I've certainly heard people say how inspiring it was to them. And I thought your comments were very vague to help me to understand what are they likely to tell me that I shouldn't hear.
Yeah. Well, basically what I said is that there are two sides to the coin, and the evidence, by and large, is fairly anecdotal, and there's a reason for that. There's a secrecy about the content shared.
Now, what do you mean by secrecy? They're telling you things, and they'll tell you not to tell anybody else? Or
exactly.
What?
That's exactly what
really?
Happens.
I've never heard that.
Well, I've experienced it personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And as far as the Bible Answer Man broadcast is concerned, I will tell you one thing I will never do. I will never tell you something out of expediency, to be politically correct, to be popular. We do what we do because truth matters. Back to the phone line, Stephen next in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Hank. Thank you for all the great insights you share regarding the scriptures.
Thank you.
My question has to do with persecution. What is the right way for Christians to respond in those attacks that lead to killings of entire family members?
Yeah, well, a couple of things, and I want to answer that question directly, but I think it's important to have some prologue to an answer, and that is, think about the early Christian church, which grew up in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. So in that particular culture, you had to say, Caesar is Lord. In some cases, you had to say, Caesar is Savior, because it's only through the Caesar cult that one ultimately can be saved. Well, you know, Christians were not willing to do that. When they were baptized, the first thing they said was, Christ is Lord. And as a result of that, they were persecuted, they were killed, but yet they lived with eternity in mind. Now, was it wrong for them to use a defensive weapon to protect themselves? Was it wrong for them to protect the innocent against an aggressor, the greater good being to save a life as opposed to losing a life? So there are cases that I'm sure in the first century, like Rahab, there were misleading statements so as to save someone who was innocent and was serving with vigilance the cause of Christ. So I think it's important to recognize on the one hand that, yeah, it's a maxim that if you're truly serving Christ, you will suffer persecution. And we are, in fact, called to recognize that as we are persecuted for Christ, we have eternity as our hope. We have eternity as our destiny. But that does not mean that we cannot be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. It doesn't mean that we can't even protect ourselves. We can protect ourselves against an evil aggressor. We did it not only as one nation against Hitler at one point, but by the same principle, we can do it as one individual against another.
Thank you so much, Hank. I have another question to ask you, and this has to do with preacher that lived and died until 1968, William Marion Braham. His movement today is called the End Timers. I want to know if William Marion Braham was the prophet they said he is, the one that would come in the spirit of Elijah, or his false prophet.
Well, he's absolutely a false prophet. In fact, to your point, in terms of making predictions, he made a lot of false predictions, and we can now look and see firsthand that the predictions that he made were false predictions because the time has come and gone. He fancied himself as the angel to the end time Church of Laodicea. He proclaimed that by 1977, all denominations would be consumed by the World Council of Churches under the control of the Roman Catholics, and that the rapture would take place and the world would be destroyed. But not only that, on top of false prophecies, he also taught false doctrine, including his communication that Trinitarianism is of the devil. So he is not someone that I would recommend. In fact, he is someone I wrote about in a book called Counterfeit Revival, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.